Please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my God, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen. Now, I'm sure years ago, if the weather had been as bad as this past weekend and people's Christmas shopping would be disrupted, you'd kind of be feeling the pressure of things. But thankfully, in this age of online shopping and gift cards and gift registries and online wish lists, even if you might have those, it's much easier to give people the gifts that they want and to find the gifts that people want. And from the position of receiving gifts, it's nice to know that you'll get something that you desire, something that's helpful or that satisfies an urgent need, or something that you've just wanted for a long time but you wouldn't purchase for yourself. But there's something even better about receiving a gift that you didn't ask for, that wasn't on your list, and that defied your expectations, or pleasantly defied your expectations. It's a gift that is better than we dared to ask or imagine. And the gift of God in Jesus Christ is that kind of gift, a gift that is far better than we can ask or imagine. Because Jesus was not simply another man like Moses or David or Joshua or Elijah. He was not merely another son of man who would defend his people, the people of God, from their enemies or rebuke and call them to reform. No, Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Man who saves his people from their sins. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, descended from David, conceived in Mary from the Holy Spirit, and by his resurrection from the dead made known to be the Son of God in power. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is a better gift than we could ask or imagine. We might have strong convictions about what we need from God, and we might pray very earnestly for those things. We might think we know what would set things right for ourselves and for others, reform or repentance that we need, or provision or rescue that would put things right for us. But in humility, we almost always recognize that the gifts of God are more perfect than we would dare to ask for or imagine for ourselves. And there's a personal story for myself that I think might help to illustrate that path of discovery, that move towards humility. I bought my first guitar when I was 16, and I was really happy with it. I was spared by God of guitar envy, that sort of sense where you play somebody else's guitar or you go to a guitar store and you play a nicer guitar and you just can't settle yourself. But the Lord really preserved me. I'd gotten a pretty good guitar to begin with, and it was just something that I was content with. But about 6 years ago, I needed to have some routine work made or done on the guitar. And it was a sort of experience that you might have when you're repairing an old car, although an old guitar doesn't wear out in the same way that a car does. But it was that that question of, should I continue to be putting money towards this instrument, or should I save up and buy something new eventually? And so I had the repair done on my old guitar, but it had planted that seed in my heart, just thinking, maybe I should start saving up for something new. And not long after I had those repairs done, there was a man at the church that I was working at called Church of the Cross in Hopkins, and he came up to me after a service and just kind of offhandedly said, you know, I have this vintage guitar. Do you know anybody who'd be interested in this guitar? And he described it, and it was more than I could ask for or imagine. It was really, really great. But because it was so great, I didn't dare to say, yes, that I'm interested, because I had just started thinking about saving up for something new. And so I sort of tried to be polite and said, yeah, I'll keep it in mind if that ever comes up, if I ever run across anybody who's interested. And then about 6 months later, he sent me another email, and he was very persistent, and he said, I've got this vintage guitar. Do you know anybody who would be interested? And I figured after asking twice, I should probably explore it a little bit more. So I said, well, yeah, share me a little bit more detail, and how much money are you looking for from it? And it was about 20 minutes later, he wrote me back, and he said, I'm not actually looking to sell this guitar. I was just looking to give it to somebody who could make use of it. And I'd been praying and felt that if you needed it, that I would just give it to you. So imagine I'd been thinking, why did I wait so long after all that time? And it was such a blessing to me. But I realized that my faith was stunted in lots of ways, but in that way particular. That there was this gift that was out there for me, but I wasn't really ready to receive it. I had already decided what was possible, and I thought I knew where God's provision lay and where it didn't. And instead, God blessed me with this very tangible parable, this instrument that I can kind of carry around is this parable of God's provision. It's a tangible sign of his grace and favor. But sadly, I think our convictions about what is possible and what we truly need can veil our vision to the gifts and rescue that God has for us. And it's almost always in things much greater significance than unexpected Christmas gifts or guitars. In today's reading from Isaiah, we see that this with great clarity in this exchange between the prophet Isaiah and King Ahaz. Ahaz was a king of Judah and a descendant of King David. And as David Gifford taught for us last week, Ahaz reigned at a time of great uncertainty with many threats to the kingdom of Judah. Judah was surrounded by enemies, and there was tremendous pressure to enter into alliances with somebody stronger that could secure the kingdom against its enemies. And in the context of today's readings, God had sent Isaiah to King Ahaz to urge him not to enter into these alliances with other powers and to trust in the Lord for safety and provision. I think we can empathize with the insecurity that Ahaz must have felt. To the right and to the left, he felt and saw strength in the riches of other nations. He might have resented or coveted the influence or position of others. And uncertainty and insecurity disturbed his peace. And he began to speculate about what might happen next and then plan on how he could head things off, how he could secure the nation and protect his own position. So when Isaiah met King Ahaz, Ahaz was already far advanced down that path of making plans to secure his position. He was under threat from Israel and Syria, and Ahaz was planning to make a pact with a greater power, with Assyria. Assyria would defeat Israel and Syria, but Assyria's protection came at the cost of servitude for Judah and for Ahaz. Assyria essentially became lord over King Ahaz and over his people. And so God spoke to Ahaz and to his people who were shaking in fear as this plan was sort of in, they were looking towards this plan but had not yet implemented it. And the Lord said that he would help them in their unbelief, that be it from the depths of death to the heights of heaven, the Lord would provide a sign of his favor. God invited Ahaz to ask for a sign. But with false piety, and it was such a false piety that Ahaz showed, he replied that, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Ahaz was trying to sound pious, but it was actually the height of impiety. It was as if to say to God, "I don't need a sign. I've made my decision. I trust in God and man and not in God. Assyria will protect us." Like someone who's too proud to ask for directions after getting lost or to adjust a very failed strategy, Ahaz preferred to trust in his own assessment and strategy. He preferred to do all that than to hope in the Lord. And Ahaz would not live to see it himself, but God would provide a sign of his favor to the house of David, this house which wearied both God and man. God would send a sign that was superior to anything that anyone could ask or imagine. The image of God and man would be restored in Jesus, who was both Son of God and Son of Man. God had provided his people with other miraculous births, but Isaac was conceived of Sarah and Abraham, and Joseph was conceived of Rachel and Isaac, and John the Baptist was conceived of Elizabeth and Zechariah. What is exceptional about this birth of Jesus is not that it was miraculous, because the Bible is filled with miraculous births, but that Jesus was conceived by Mary and the Holy Spirit of God. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man, restored the image of God in humanity. He was not born of the will of man, but of God. In Jesus, God became one of us, not extracting us from the trials of the world, but joining with us, that by his merits and death and through faith in his blood, we might be saved from our sins, making us one body with him. For as Jesus prayed for us to the Father, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. And that sign of Emmanuel is the sign of God with us. Like Ahaz, the kind of security and rescue that we imagine is so much less than we need. Like Ahaz, we might desire a rescue that saves face, that preserves our sense of self-sufficiency. But what is that illusion of self-sufficiency worth when God casts down the mighty from their thrones and lifts up the lowly, when he shows the strength of his arm as he scatters the proud in the vanity of their hearts, when he fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty? Why do these deals with power that corrupt and passing away, why would they make any sense in light of that kind of God with us? If the Lord invited you to ask of him, what would you seek? When the Lord promises signs as high as heaven and deep as death, would we ask for a sign that is bound by our fleshly expectations? Or would we recognize that God with us is the greatest sign of all? God with us is the greatest sign of all of God's grace and favor. It is God the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom in his Son, Jesus Christ. God has come to us in Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. He's not given us merely what we want, but what humanity, what all of us most desperately, desperately need. The image of God restored in the person of Jesus Christ. A sign of his love that is greater than anything we could ask or imagine. Please pray with me. Lord God, give us not merely what we need or what we want, but what we need. Restore to us yourself in Christ Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us, descended from David, conceived in Mary from the Holy Spirit, and by his resurrection of the dead, made known to be the Son of God. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.